This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. On a weekend, teenagers might sleep late into the morning, even into early afternoon if you let them. But on school days, they're peeling themselves out of bed early. Could that affect how well they do in school? Our education reporter Jenny Brundine's been reading some new research on this topic. Another question that's intriguing her these days: are teachers spending too much time getting introverted students to talk? Hi, Jenny.
Hey, Ryan.
And from time to time, you check in with us and share some of the big ideas brewing on your beat, education. First, sleepy teenagers, what's the latest on whether they're being asked to be in school too early?
Well, this isn't a new issue. There have been campaigns to delay start times for the past couple of decades, and those have been started by pediatricians, parents, students. They want to see middle and high school start no earlier than 8 o'clock. I did a quick review of many middle schools and high schools in Colorado, and it shows that most start at 7:30, 7:45, that kind of thing, fairly early. And I thought this would be good to talk about because a number of Denver middle schools are increasing the length of their school day next year, and that could mean starting earlier.
So what does the research about teens and sleep show?
Well, it shows that most teens need about 9 hours of sleep a night. And in order to get that 9 hours and to get to school at those very early start times, they would really have to get to bed at 9 or 9:30. And in many cases, that isn't happening.
It's just not happening. So why can't teenagers just get to bed earlier, right?
Aside from the homework and all the other activities they have, changes in the secretion of the hormone melatonin shifts their natural sleep cycle, and they simply can't fall asleep before 11 o'clock. And because of this shift in the circadian rhythm, 7 a.m. for a teenager, that's like 4 a.m. for their parents. So, Ryan, imagine starting work every day at 4 a.m., except you're sitting in algebra or a Shakespeare class. So the Centers for Disease Control last year estimated that 70% of American teens are sleep deprived, and nearly 40% are getting 6 or fewer hours of sleep per night.
Wow. And The consequences of that are?
Well, that's a long list of health and learning problems. Some studies have found that when you can line up school start times with the teen's body clock, there are decreases in the dropout rates, truancy, car crashes, and rates of depression.
And what about their grades or, you know, scores on tests?
Yeah, this is kind of the new research that's out. There's another interesting article that came out published in Education Next, and it asked the question, do schools begin too early? An economist looked at the relationships between school start times and standardized test scores in one of the largest school districts in the country in North Carolina, and he looked at it over 6 years. He chose this district because start times vary quite a bit. You have some starting at 7:30, some starting at 9:15.
Okay.
And he found that math scores improved by 2 percentile points and reading scores by 1 point in the middle schools that moved 1 hour later from 7:30 to 8:30. So these score improvements were particularly striking among older and lower performing students in those middle schools. And we should note that the impact lasts into at least the 10th grade, so pretty significant. There was also a recent Brookings Institution study that found early start times reduce performance among what they call disadvantaged students by an amount equivalent to having a highly ineffective teacher.
Wow. I mean, that's equating an early start time with a bad teacher. Like, that's the same thing, they're saying.
The same thing. And it's really interesting when you put it into the context, Ryan, of all the billions of dollars being spent nationally to remake schools and change the way teachers teach, et cetera. When you could, it appears, get quite a bit of mileage out of letting kids sleep in a little bit.
Well, with this evidence, why don't schools just push start times forward, like, you know, 9 o'clock.
Very complicated. From everything I've read, it appears virtually impossible in many districts. And that's because, first, the entire community is kind of organized around a school start time. So parents plan when to get to work and, you know, dropping off other kids at daycare, that kind of thing. So change is really difficult. There are also concerns about the impact on after-school sports and jobs. But the article points out that in cities that have made start times later, those concerns turn out to be groundless. Everybody actually really ends up adjusting. The big one, though, is money. And I'm talking here about bus schedules. Most school districts districts have different start times so that a fleet of buses can serve more schools. So fewer buses are needed. One of the articles suggests switching elementary and middle school start times because younger kids have fewer problems getting up earlier. The economist that I referred to in the North Carolina study, he calculated that it would cost $150 more per student per year to switch all schools to a later start time. So, in fact, that's a lot cheaper than other things like reducing class sizes to try to get boosts in academic achievement. But still, it's costly. So overall, the conclusion is the science is there, but the will to change is really not.
Jenny, did you find examples of schools in Colorado that have experimented with later start times?
Well, I did find a couple. In Denver, I spoke with a principal, Bob Villarreal, at a public school called West Generation Academy in Denver. And he says they deliberately designed their start time at 8:30 for these health reasons. The other reason he said was the highest number of incidences of kids getting into trouble is typically from 2:30 to 4:30. So in this school, they made it so the school day goes until 4:30. At that time, kids pretty much go home and not a lot of time for getting into trouble.
You're listening to Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner, and we're checking in with our education reporter at Colorado Public Radio, Jenny Brundine. And Jenny, let's move to another issue that you've brought with you, and this has to do with introverted kids.
Yes. I could be wrong, Ryan, but I'm guessing you were not introverted at school?
Not an introvert, but the opposite problem usually. Ryan, sit down. Ryan, be quiet.
Well, I was on the other end of the spectrum. I certainly remember being introverted, and teachers were always trying to draw the quiet kids out of their shell, which for a kid can be extremely painful. There's new research that's showing that schools can actually improve the academic outcomes for these introverted students by reducing the pressure on them to be outgoing.
Okay, well, tell us about that.
There was an article in Education Week focusing on what it describes as the plight of the introverted child.
The plight?
Yes, many of today's classrooms can be crowded where teachers still focus on participating out loud, where students are encouraged to shout out their answers, where being an extrovert is considered the norm, such that one researcher, he calls the modern classroom the quiet kid's worst nightmare. And one of the books mentioned in the article is called Quiet: The Power of Introverts in a World That Can't Stop Talking. The author argues that because introversion is often seen as inferior or pathological, and teachers try to convert the introvert into an extrovert, in this environment, introverted kids, they really detach, and it makes it hard for them to learn.
Well, tell me a little bit more about that. I mean, have there been studies on how teachers perceive introverted students, first of all?
Well, think about what happens in many classrooms. The teacher calls out a question to a student. If she doesn't answer immediately, the teacher goes on to the next kid. And there's a tendency to think that the child is not as smart or didn't do her homework. And indeed, there was a study of teachers last year confirming this. There's also a tendency to ignore introverted students. Another study found that introverted students tend to suffer in grades because so much emphasis is put on class participation and oral skills. Some studies show, though, that introverted students can be better at extroverts in test taking.
Could this be a lot of children we're talking about?
It's estimated that as many as half of Americans are introverts. We should point out that introversion is different from shyness. Shyness usually means a fear or an anxiety around social contact. And introversion, as this article describes it, is really related to how comfortable a person is with various levels of stimulation. So introverted kids tend to recharge their batteries by being alone.
Are there any schools that are designed differently, you know, to be more appealing to introverted students?
The article talked about a school in Baltimore, and it has what are called nooks and spaces where one or two kids can sit quietly working. There's a mix of desks and tables and small reading groups. And on the walls, they have these big whiteboards. So kids can kind of wander up to the whiteboard in groups or alone and work on projects. And so it's really designed so that different types of kids can work in different types of environments. But we should note, obviously, that when you have a class of 30 kids, it can be really hard to provide this kind of space. A lot of these classes have online technology, and that's also been shown to really help introverted kids.
That is, they can work in small groups or alone on a computer. Is that
That's
the idea?
Right. Okay. Yes. And this article generated, you know, a few comments. And one teacher wrote in After reading the article, she said she regularly interjects by saying, "Okay, students, this is a thinking time question." And she doesn't allow any responses until some time has passed. And she finds that this gives all students more time to give thoughtful, complex, deeper responses.
We'll post links to the articles you read, not just on introverted kids, but also on start times, to CPR.org. Jenny, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Ryan.
A check in there with Jenny Brundine, our education reporter.